we have been talking about equipping you. Come on, look at your neighbor and say you. And then look at yourself and say me. In healing the sick. Amen. Come on, we have a command from the Lord Jesus. We are his ambassadors in the earth. We are the ones that he has commissioned. Come on, to bring the life of God, to bring the love of Jesus, and to bring the power of the Holy Spirit to everybody that we run into. How about that? Wouldn't that be a goal? Everybody that we run into, that we're looking for something of the Lord, that we can bless them and help them. So tonight, I'm going to be talking to you and actually helping you in being equipped in the power connection. Amen? And so the Bible says this in Acts chapter 1. Now tonight, we're going through some things that are in our healing school. So if you've not listened to our healing school, I encourage you to do that. You can catch it online. You can buy it in the Faith Store. Tonight I'm going to kind of give a good foundation, a running start at it. Many of these things we talk about a lot, so I'm going to try to cover them fairly quickly so that we can get to the meat at the end, which is really teaching us about connecting with the power of God and being able to release that power to others. And so tonight we're actually going to do some demonstrating and things at the end. But I do want to give you a good foundation, because the Bible says this in Acts chapter 1. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall. Not that you might, not that you maybe not sometimes. It says you, and that's all inclusive. So anybody that's living a life with Jesus, that's got Jesus in their heart, has received the fullness of the Holy Spirit, you need to know that power from God, power from heaven, power from the Almighty has come upon you through the Holy Spirit. So the power of God is what drives out demons. It is what heals broken bodies. It is what restores. It's the power that does the restoring work all the way from the top of our head to the very soles of our feet. And it is the Holy Spirit who gives that power. Amen? So we can say this, that the Holy Spirit is our power source. Now we know that it was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, that one day he was coming, the one, and that he was going to take the burden from our neck, and that the yoke would be destroyed because of the anointing, or the putting on of the power of God upon Jesus and upon God's people. And then Zechariah 4, 6 says this, that it's not by might, your might, nor by power, any other power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. So we have to know the Holy Spirit, get very well in tune with him and familiar with him, so that his power can work through us properly. Now we see this. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 3. Just want to tell you a little bit about the power, how it was on Jesus. So Luke chapter 3, verse 21 through 23 says this. It says, now we know that when Jesus came, he was born of a virgin. He was born of God. So we know that God was already in him. I mean, from birth, God was in him. But it says this in verse 21. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. Everybody say, upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved son, in you I am well pleased. And then it says this, note, now Jesus, now what? Now that the Holy Spirit has what? Come upon, not just the Holy Spirit in him, but now that the Holy Spirit has come upon him, it says, now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age. So we see that after Jesus being filled with or empowered with the Holy Spirit was when he began his ministry. So not even Jesus healed anybody or cast any devils out or worked any miracles until he had the Holy Spirit upon him. And so if we're going to help people get healed, if we're going to cast devils out, if we're going to work miracles, which we're all called to, we're going to have the Holy Spirit upon us. So when Jesus connected with the Holy Spirit in that way, him coming upon him was when the power then began to be able to flow out of him. Now, continue on. Let's go to Luke 4, 1. In verse 1 and 2, it says this, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry." Now just notice this, okay, that Jesus being filled with, something had just happened to him. Not the Spirit that was within him, but the Spirit had come upon him. And now it says, then Jesus being filled with. That's why you hear in a lot of our type of circles, we say, "Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit?" We're not talking about you getting saved and getting the seal of the Spirit that comes to live on the inside of you. We're talking about that subsequent event where the Spirit of God that is within you comes upon you, that you are filled now with the fullness of God. And so that is a very important step in the life of every believer. We receive Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit, we get baptized in water. All those things are very important. And so then it goes on to say then in verse 14, "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding areas." And so this scripture tells us that Jesus himself needed the power of the Holy Spirit in order to defeat the devil and his works. How many of you want to defeat the devil? Come on, how many of you want to live where it's evident that the devil is under your feet? Amen? Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice here that Jesus, in verse 2, ate nothing. He fasted. Jesus was a prayer, meaning he prayed a lot, and Jesus was a faster, meaning he fasted a lot. Did you see that? That's connected. That's connected. Him being filled and him fasting was connected with him having victory over the devil. I say this all the time. In Christianity, or in spirit-filled Christianity, there's two four-letter words. You want to know what they are? One of them is work. No one wants to work. And it's like a four-letter word. In Christianity. And the other four-letter word is fast. It's like when you say that, it's like, oh no, oh no. But fasting is a very vital part of our life. We must fast. Notice this also, that here Jesus, being filled with the Spirit, went out into the wilderness, was tempted by the devil himself for 40 days. But in verse 14, it says he returned in the power. So what we see is that the opposition to him, the devil tempting him, the devil coming against him, didn't deplete him. Oh, come on, church. Come on, I hear so many Christians, "Oh, the devil's after me, man. It's been hard. You know, I'm weary, I'm tired." No. If you'll just stay full of the Spirit, come on, it doesn't matter what comes at you. It doesn't matter what temptation, what opposition. It doesn't matter what the devil throws at you. Come on, you got the power of God in you and upon you to overcome. That's how we overcome. We stay full of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is awesome stuff. And notice this too, that while it was that Jesus was in the wilderness, it's probably that he was, why was he fasting and praying and having this seeming likely it excluded himself out for a time to do something? I believe it's very probable that he was getting familiar with this new measure of the Holy Spirit that he had. See, he had the Spirit in him, but now he recognized that something had come upon him. He recognized that a power had come upon him. He really recognized that the Holy Spirit himself, who brought the works of the Holy Spirit, the expressions of the Holy Spirit, the operations of the Holy Spirit, and the power and the fire all came upon him, and he was getting familiar with what that was, how to work with that, how to use that. Glory to God. We have the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. The word says this. Now, I know this is all kind of a recap here, but just trying to get you a good start. How God anointed, that word anointed means to rub on, to smear on, to put on. So God anointed, he put on, smeared on, rubbed on Jesus of Nazareth. He rubbed him on with what? The Holy Spirit and with power. You see that? Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. How God anointed Jesus, how God put on Jesus the Holy Spirit and power. I just have to stop for just a moment and thank God for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit has been given. I'm thankful that he was poured out of heaven. I'm thankful that he was given to the church. I'm thankful that he was given to me. The Holy Spirit has changed my life. And I want to say this, the Holy Spirit is the gift that keeps on giving. I mean, he just keeps on giving. There's always more of him. He's always there. It's always fresh. It's always wonderful. It's always life-giving. This stuff, this God stuff in the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Ha ha. Ha ha. Now look at that, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. You see that? The Holy Spirit and with power. So what I want you to recognize that while I'm talking to you tonight about the Holy Spirit coming upon you, I'm not only talking about power. Tonight we're going to talk about power because we're talking about healing the sick, and it's the power that heals the sick. But what I want you to know is the same Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus is the one who has come upon us, and there's more to him than just the power. He's called the Spirit of Truth. He's called the Spirit of Wisdom. I'm going to talk a little bit later about the seven spirits that make up the Holy Spirit. But you need to recognize that when the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, all of the functions, all of the activities, all of the operations, all of the expressions, all of the gifts, all of the fire, not just the power, came upon him. Wow. That just about solves everything. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Mark chapter 5. Hallelujah. While you're turning, and remember, Jesus got anointed, had the Holy Spirit put upon him, and then it says he went about doing something. So do what? We get the power, not just for ourselves. I mean, listen, the power of God will fix you. The power of God will restore you. The power of God will help you. The power of God will bless you. But it's not just for you. It's not just to sit in your room and hold your hands out and sense the anointing and think how wonderful it is, because it really is. But it's also so that we can go out and do. So that we can go out and do good things, help people, be a blessing, help the sick get healed. It's important that we know that. The Bible actually says that Jesus came with a purpose, and the purpose that he came, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, was that he would destroy the works of the devil. So that's why he got the Holy Spirit and power, and that's why he went about doing something, because he was out, I'm just going to destroy the works of the devil. Every sickness, every disease, come on, every malfunction, everything that's wrong falls by the power of God. Are you in Mark chapter 5? Okay, we're going to read verses 27 through 34. It says, now when she heard about Jesus, she came from behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. So now, remember tonight, we're talking about healing power, talking about this power, being able to heal people. Verse 28, for she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you know, look, master, the whole multitude is thronging you, is touching you, is pulling upon you, and you're saying, who touched me? But he looked around to see her who had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling and knowing what had happened to her, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." Now here we're going to see the connection of faith and the power. He said, "Your faith has made you well." We know that the power caused the healing, because she said instantly when she touched him and that virtue came out of him, instantly she was healed. But Jesus turned around and said, "Your faith has made you well." So here we see that virtue or power flowed out of Jesus. And he knew it flowed out of him. He knew it. The minute it came out of him, he knew it. I want to tell you, as a believer, as a spirit-filled believer with the power of God on you, you're going to have to keep a good, high, full, working measure of the Holy Spirit. Because you can have the Spirit of God upon you, and it's kind of just like never recharging your battery. Your battery will run out. And then when someone goes to plug in, when you go to plug into that source, you won't have anything there. Jesus worked in a full measure of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we work to stay full. Not just getting the Holy Spirit one time, speaking in tongues one time, how wonderful. No, but we daily build ourselves up, praying in the Holy Spirit, confessing the Word of God, praising God, doing things to stir up that Spirit within us so that our working measure stays full and we can have power flow out of us just like Jesus did. Praise God. But I want you to see this. It said that she was deliberate. She was saying, "Whenever I touch him." So she had a deliberate touch. She had a deliberate, it was not like, "I'm just going to try to get to Jesus." And have you ever been in that where people are around you and they're kind of like, you know, "Pray for me." But then there's that one, "Pray for me." I mean, and I know when they say it, it's a deliberate, at this moment right here, we're expecting something to happen. And that's what happened with this woman. Her touch was the touch of faith. That's why everybody else was touching Jesus. And it Jesus, same Jesus, same power right there present. But it didn't say that the power came out of him for all these other people. It said when she touched him, power. Why? Because she touched him with the touch of faith. She touched him with an expectation. She touched him saying, "When I touch him, I will be made well." Hallelujah. I've seen it. I've seen people come in that way. I remember years ago I was at a meeting and I just got kind of tapped into the healing power of God. And I had people that came up to the altar. And I mean, it was just one of those days when the power was really present. I mean, it was a tangible power of God. And I had noticed a girl, she had been sitting in the very back of the church. And this is her testimony. She had three bulging discs and one slipped disc in her back. This was the testimony I got a week later. And she said that she had been in so much pain that she had been getting epidural shots to help numb her from the waist down so that she could pretty much just basically exist. And she had been using a wheelchair to get around, but she knew I was coming. I'd been there before. And she said, "If I can just get to the meeting and just get up front, I know that when she prays for me, I'll be healed." And so sure enough, she came down. I didn't really know the story, but you know, she was there in the center, and I was apparently starting down on the left side. And she said that the power of God was so present and so strong that she could barely stand up under the weight of it. But she said, "I was waiting and I was ready. I was just ready and waiting." And I do remember this part, because sometimes you just, when you get in front of people, something. And I mean, I just barely even looked at her and she just went completely down on the ground. And guess what happened when she got up? All three bulging discs were healed and her slipped disc was healed and all her pain was gone. And she came back the next night and was testifying to all the people. What did that? The power of God did that. I didn't do that. Listen, I didn't have nothing to do with that. I was just the vessel, just like you're the vessel. We do have to know the power of God. We have to be ready with the power of God so that we can let that power flow just like it flowed out of Jesus. I want to tell you this, everybody, if you don't write anything else down tonight, you write this down. Faith puts a demand on the power. It's faith that puts a demand on the power. And I want to tell you this, it's not only faith in the receiving area, That certainly, absolutely. If you're a receiver, you come with full assurance of faith. At that moment, I mean, the minute they touch me, the minute they say the name of Jesus, the minute I get up and grab a garment, whatever it is, you come as the receiver with your faith. But listen, as the giver, as the releaser, as the one who's going to minister, you do the same thing. I went to that meeting with my faith, the faith that God was going to work miracles, the faith that whatever anybody needed, the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit was going to show up in that measure. My faith was in that. Listen, people are depending on you. The kingdom is depending on you to have faith that the power is upon you and the power will come through you. The power will flow out of you. Hallelujah. This is wonderful to get to work with God like this. Sometimes we have that tangible where we can feel it, power and presence of the Lord. Sometimes we don't have that, but it doesn't matter. Why is that? Because we don't live by sight. We don't go by what we feel. Come on, sight is our feelings, what we can touch, feel, smell, see. We don't go by that. I don't go by that. So I want to tell you, some of the greatest miracles I have ever seen, I felt nothing. Zilch. Nada. And that's why we have to know the Holy Spirit and work well with the Holy Spirit, because we're not after feelings. We're not after looking at something. I don't care if someone's crying or not crying. I don't care if someone falls out in the Spirit or doesn't fall out. That bears nothing on what I'm expecting of what's happening with them. We need to get that. We need to get that. That's important. Amen? Hallelujah. So we see that that is the Spirit that was upon Jesus and how it flowed out of Jesus. And I want you to know that the Scriptures say that that same Spirit is upon you. Glory. The same Spirit. Don't turn there. I'm just going to read you a few Scriptures. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Says this, John the Baptist was speaking, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he, Jesus, who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you, fully immerse you, put you under, cause the Holy Spirit to come upon you. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Fire. Luke chapter 24, verse 49, Jesus said this, behold, I, Jesus, send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with a power from on high. Come on, this is not a man's power. This is not anything that we can drum up or dredge up. This is power from God Almighty. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, I already read it. I'm going to read it again, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. I want to say about that the Lord expects you to start where you're at. You're not going to affect a whole city if you can't affect your neighbor. Be faithful in every opportunity. Be faithful in every opportunity. That's how the Lord does it. And if you do that, if you'll be faithful with what the Lord gives you every opportunity, you'll see that your opportunities will increase. Amen? So we see that. That's the way that that works. Hallelujah. All right, so let's talk about these seven spirits, the seven flames of fire that were in and upon Jesus and are in and upon you, called the seven flames of fire. Revelation 1:10, the Apostle John said this. He said, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. And every time I read that, I just have to stop. Because as Spirit-filled believers, that's what our life's supposed to be like. We're all supposed to be able to be in the Spirit, to get in the Spirit. I'm talking about in the Spirit realm, in the realm of God, and to know it. And when we do it, we're able to see things and to hear things and to know things, heavenly things, the things of the will of God, the things of the kingdom of God, the secrets, the mysteries, the divine plans, the purposes, all the things that our heart so longs for, the things that our eyes have not yet seen and our ears have not yet heard, but the wonderful things that have been laid up in store for those who love him and those who seek after him. That's what happens when we get in the Spirit. We must live in the Spirit. Listen, and if you're not full of the Spirit, you're going to have trouble getting in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, walking in in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. So we have to be with the Holy Spirit. But it says this in Revelation 4, verse 2 and verse 5. It says that in John's vision, he was in the Spirit before the throne of God. And it says in verse 5 that he saw seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So there are seven spirits of God. And just make a mental note now, Revelation 5, verse 6, it says that those seven spirits were sent out in the earth. So they don't just remain up in heaven before the throne of God. They've been sent out in the earth. And it talks about that in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, when it was talking about Jesus was going to come, the stem of Jesse and a branch from his roots, and it was describing the spirits that were going to be upon Jesus. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But I want you to notice they were as seven lamps of fire. Everybody say fire. Woo! Come on, say fire. There are a few things about the holy fire I want you to know. Fire is a symbol. And when the Lord speaks of the fire in that symbolic way, there are things that are being represented. Fire is a sign of God's glory. Let me give you scriptures. I'm not going to read them. But Exodus 14, verse 19, Numbers 9, verse 15 through 16. Fire is also a sign of God's power. In the Old Testament, Judges 13, verse 20, 1 Kings 18, verse 38. In the Old Testament, fire on the altar was a divine gift from the Lord himself, having been lit by God himself. It was God who lit the fire that was on the altar. It was God who lit the fire. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 24. And the priest in Leviticus 6, 13 were told to keep it. They were told to keep the fire, to keep the fire burning. Come on, to maintain the fire. Well, the New Testament portrays the altar. Now, where's the fire? It was at the altar. The New Testament portrays the altar as a Christian. So guess where the fire is? Go on, the fire that has been lit by God himself is in us, and it's our responsibility to maintain that lit fire. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why? So that the glory can be upon us, so that we can experience the glory of God. Yea, though the glory of God has risen upon us, it has come upon us. Why? So that we can know the power of God. This is good stuff. This stuff fires me up. I mean, when I start talking about this stuff, I feel like the fire on the inside of me is just, woo! It's like the flames get bigger and bigger. Hallelujah. You can see that talking about the Christian as an altar in Romans 12, verse 1, where we're to bring ourselves as a living sacrifice. You'll have to study that later. But the fire of God brings to Christians, number one, the presence of God. It represents the presence. It represents the passion. And when I talk about passion, I'm talking about the fervor, the zeal, the just where we're consumed with God, with who God is, with all that God is. And it's just our burning desire to know him and to love him and to serve him. And it also brings the purity of God. The fire in us and upon us brings the purity of God. So these seven spirits that were represented at the throne of God, they represent the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're not big on numerology and all that stuff, but there are some general things. The number seven equals fullness, so we see seven spirits of the Holy Spirit. And it shows us that the Holy Spirit is as one in essence, but there are seven distinct expressions, or we could say seven distinct operations of the Spirit that was upon Jesus. And these are listed out in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. Turn there real quickly, just so that you can see the seven spirits. I'm going to give them to you. Praise the Lord. Woo! Praise the Lord. Woo! I'm going to give you the seven spirits, and then I'm just going to read you very quickly a recap of what the spirits do. Now remember, I'm talking about the spirit that was in and upon Jesus. I'm talking about that same spirit being in and upon you. Number one, he is the spirit of the Lord. He is the spirit of wisdom. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of understanding. He is the spirit of counsel. He is the spirit of might. He is the spirit of revelation. And number seven, he is the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Now let me very briefly define those for you. The Spirit of the Lord, number one, was the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in all of the gifts and all of the graces with the authority to execute. So we see in this way, dunamis power with authority was in and upon Jesus, and it's in and upon you. We see the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, and the spirit of knowledge. All those together in different ways represent the absolute knowing and understanding of the business of God and the kingdom of God. It means knowing the mind and the will of God so as to completely administrate the kingdom properly, making known to men the glory of God and the welfare of his people. We get to know the kingdom well enough to fully execute and operate the kingdom so that the glory can come to people, so that they can know that God cares for them, that God loves for them, that God will take care of them, that God will do good things for them. The next one, the spirit of might, or we could say the spirit of strength, is courage, fortitude, boldness, vigor, energy, strength, and power to fully execute without discouragement or fail. We see this was one of the spirits that operated greatly in Samson's life. If you've ever studied Samson, I mean, he would have the spirit of the Lord, and it was really the spirit of might that would come upon him. And he would just, he would just think he was indestructible. He was undefeatable. I mean, he would just run into the enemy's camp all by himself and just take back anything that had been stolen. I mean, he would do just miraculous feats of strength. That same power, come on, that same spirit is in you. And to keep you from being discouraged and thinking that you're going to fail. Come on, you need to activate that sometimes. Come on, when you're feeling a little down and out, when you're feeling like you're a little defeated or a little under, you need to remember, I got the spirit of might in me. Glory to God. There is no disappointment in me. There is no discouragement in me. Christ is in me. The anointing is in me. The spirit is upon me, and I can do all things through him who strengthens me. What things? What things? The spirit of the fear of the Lord. Listen to this. This spirit is to be upon you. Reverent affection for and worship of his Father with an intense desire to please him. And as a servant, he had a zeal, a fire, a passion, and fully undertaking the advancement of the kingdom. In other words, Jesus never woke up on any day and thought, this is my day and I'll just do with it as I want. He woke up every day because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. He said, oh no, today I got to advance the kingdom. Yeah. Listen, Jesus worked. Jesus had things to do. He didn't go around just doing nothing. He had lived a life. He had activities. But he was constantly undertaking the advancement of the kingdom. Why? Because he loved his Father. He wanted to do the will of, he said, that's my meat. It's what I live for, just to do the will of God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That was the power that was upon Jesus. And it's the same power that's upon us. How are we going to see that operate in our life? First of all, we're going to have to believe it. We're going to have to believe it. We're going to have to stop making excuses. We're going to have to stop selling ourselves short. Listen, I know you're not Jesus. But the same spirit that was upon Jesus was on you. We got to at least aim way. If we aim for heaven, way, heaven and all of the things of heaven, then maybe we'll at least aim here. But if we're just aiming for just a good, decent kind of natural living, let me just go along and things be good, me love God, love, we're going to fall way short. We're going to have to tap into who he is in us and expect at any moment. Come on, that we've got the courage. Expect at any moment that we've got the wisdom. Expect at any moment that we've got the strength. Expect at any moment I'm willing to drop whatever. I'm willing to do whatever so that the will of the Lord can be done, so that the kingdom of God can be advanced. And that God will work everything out. Really what we do is we try to live this natural life and we try to figure out how to make God fit in it. We look at all of our earthly responsibilities and we try to make God fit in it. And that is not seek ye first the kingdom. Put God first. That's not how it's done. It's that you put God first. When you put God first, you know what will happen? The Lord will get involved in your day, in your life, in your activities, and everything will fall in place, and you'll find out that at the end of every single day, it'll all have been okay. Because you put God first. Hallelujah. Putting God first. Why was the power on Jesus? Luke 4, 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me, number one, to preach the gospel to the poor. Come on, there's a gospel message in every one of your mouth. It's the gospel of you being saved. It's the good news of what Jesus has done for you. You don't have to be called to a pulpit. You don't have to have a microphone. You don't have to have an audience. All you need is just one person. And really, you don't even have to have that. You can just practice it around your house. Get right in front of your walls. Get right in front of your mirror. Just testify. Just testify right to yourself. Preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent us to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. I just want to say it right here. In the year of 2020, when everybody's dogging 2020 and this is the year of the Lord. This is the year of the Lord. We're going to have a year of the Lord. I'm going to experience God. I'm going to live in the kingdom. I don't care what goes on out there. I don't care about any of that stuff. I might be in the world, but I'm not of the world. And I'm not partaking of it. I'm not putting my focus on it. I'm not trying to even figure out how to fix it. I've just decided I'm going to rise above it. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to live with God. I'm going to experience all of the glory in the kingdom right in the midst of a very crazy, ugly, dark, messed up world. Ha ha. Because I get to have peace and joy. Have we forgotten our peace and joy this year? Hallelujah. This is good stuff. Woo! Okay, don't turn to these scriptures. I'm just giving you the whole meat of it so that I can get to the real part. This is all the warm-up. That same Spirit is on you, Colossians 1:27. It says, Christ in you. Do you know what Christ is? Christ the anointed one. Christ the anointing. Christ the anointing. The anointing, the seven spirits of God is in you and upon you. You are the hope of glory. You're the hope of glory for your own life. You're the hope of glory for your neighbor. You're the hope of glory for Houston, Texas. Everybody that you run into, the hope of any glory of God that they're going to experience comes through you. Hallelujah. 1 John 2, verse 27, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. Look at that. This is written to everybody, but the anointing which you have received. If you have received the fullness of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, you have already received the anointing. That's a past tense. We're not waiting on it. We're not trying to get more. Now listen, we got to keep it stirred up. That's a whole nother message. I got lots of messages out there about that kind of stuff. But we have to know we've already received the Holy Spirit, the power, the wisdom. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and that word if is not like if is a question, it's if is in a statement, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit. Who dwells in you? We have life in us. I'm not talking about natural life. I'm not talking about another breath. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about we have eternal life. The life of God is in us. Listen, you need a healing? Just touch the life of God in yourself. Why is that in us and upon us? So that John 20:21, we can do the same works that Jesus did because we were sent as he is sent. He said that the same works that he did, greater works even than that, than he will do. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. And these signs will follow those who believe. These signs will follow those who believe. These signs will follow. Listen, signs and wonders follow us everywhere we go. I'm a believer. I know you're a believer. I got any believers in the house here? Come on, lift your hands. Are you a believer? Come on. Believer signs follow us. What kind of signs? In Jesus' name, we cast out demons. We speak with new tongues. If we take up serpents or drink anything deadly, it doesn't hurt us. And what? We lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They will recover. When we lay hands on the sick, Christ in us, the anointing flows out of us and the sick recover. That's it. Jesus said it. I believe it. It's settled. Aaron, settled. He said, amen. So be it. Same thing. Hallelujah. So we're talking about that power and that power coming upon us and being released through us. So here we go. Are y'all ready? We're moving right now into the section very quickly here of connecting with the power and releasing the power of God. The goal is to get the power when we're talking about being equipped to do the works of Jesus. So whether you're casting out a devil, whether you're healing the sick, the power, the goal is to get the power that is in you and upon you to them. And remember, what is it that puts a demand on the anointing or the power? Faith is what puts the anointing or the power. So here's an illustration. You know, I'm a girl, so I'm going to use a girl illustration. I'm not going to use tools. I'm not going to use all those kind of things. I'm going to use a blow dryer because I need a blow dryer. And when I get that blow dryer out, there are several things that my goal is to make that blow dryer dry. I mean, if I get that blow dryer out and that blow dryer just sits there, it's pretty much useless to me. They're not pretty. They don't just, you know, it's got a purpose to it. That's about the power in you has a purpose to it. We don't want it to just sit around and do nothing. Just sitting around trying to look pretty on the shelf. It's got a purpose. So when I see that blow dryer, I'm thinking, first thing I got to do, plug that thing in. I mean, I got to get that thing connected to the power source. I got to plug that thing into the electrical socket, make sure which country I'm in and what voltage I'm on, because I have done it the wrong way and poof. Anyway, so, but you plug it in and that is the connection. So we have to know how to connect with the power. All right. But then there's the other part. In order for that air to blow out, because I'm waiting for the air to blow out, right? That's what I'm looking for. So now I've connected to the power source, and the minute I flip that switch, that little switch comes on, the power comes out. That's the release of the power. We have to release the power that's in us to whoever we're dealing with to help them. You can pray as many pretty prayers as you want. You can pray as many scriptural prayers as you want. If your faith is not connected, somebody's faith is not connected, to flip that switch, all you're going to have is a pretty prayer. Pretty prayers may sound pretty, but they don't do a pretty work. So we want that power to come out, and we got to flip that switch on that blow dryer. That switch is faith. Okay? So here we go. Y'all ready? Number one, in connecting with the power, the first thing you have to do is always look to the Lord. Remember that the power is what heals. And it comes through the Holy Spirit. So you have to connect to the Holy Spirit. You're not connecting to your head. You're not connecting to knowledge. You're connecting your spirit to the Spirit of God who is within you. And so you're looking to make your connection to the Lord, expecting Him to do the work. So you're going to have to ignore what's in front of you. Ignore anything else that's going on. Ignore the music. Ignore the whatever. And look to the Holy Spirit to let the conductor of heaven begin to operate in you and through you. So number one, realize this. It doesn't always take a long time, but you do have to open up your spirit to the Lord. Okay? You need to be sensitive to the environment or the atmosphere. Obviously, if you are out in public, in a public place, and there are a bunch of people around, it is not the time to start going, no, there are other ways to connect to the Holy Spirit without doing that in public. All right. You need to find the door to the Spirit. You need to find your entrance into the Spirit. There are many ways. Tongues is one way. Worship is another way. Using the name of Jesus, using the blood of Jesus. There's all kinds of scripture. There's all kinds of ways to connect your heart to the Holy Spirit. So it is about knowing the Holy Spirit, because he is the one that's, he wants more than you want. He wants to help that person. And so he's looking to try to connect with you. And we need to have faith that we can find the Holy Spirit, that we can connect with the Holy Spirit. I love this story. Brother Copeland told this story many, many, many years ago. He said, you know, when he first got filled with the Holy Spirit and started learning these wonderful things of God, and the first few times that he had an opportunity to pray for somebody, he was so excited that when the person got up to him, he instantly in his head started thinking, well, I know this scripture, and I know this scripture. And he's just so ready to just jump on them with that scripture that he knew. And he said, the Lord said, oh, please, please wait. Let me lead you. Let me give you the scripture. So what we're looking for is the thing with the Holy Spirit in that moment. That is the thing that God wants to do. He knows what scripture needs to come. We might have 15 scriptures up here. But it's what the Holy Spirit wants to bring to us. I remember many, many years ago when I was, not very long after I was Spirit-filled, one of the ways the Lord taught me about connecting to the Lord was that I went to a prayer meeting, a very small group of people, and we always spent the first 5 or 10 minutes ourselves just preparing our heart to pray, preparing ourselves to get in a place of the Spirit where then we could come together and really pray corporately together. And so I just sat down, and as I sat down and kind of just looked to the Lord, I remembered that scripture where it says that Paul and them, as they ministered to the Lord. And so I thought, I'm just going to sit down. I'm just going to minister to the Lord. I'm not going to ask him for anything. I'm not going to ask him to do. I'm just going to minister to the Lord. And I was sitting there, and I remember I just did my hands like this as I was sitting there. And all of a sudden, this had never happened before. As I was sitting there with my eyes closed, all of a sudden, Jesus sat in front of me. He sat just like I did. It was Indian style, you know, where you cross your legs like that. Is that okay to say Indian style? Okay. That's what I called it growing up, you know, where you cross your legs. Jesus sat in front of me. My eyes were closed. And he touched my hands. And when he touched my hands, he put the anointing in them. I connected with the Spirit of God. It was Jesus, but it was the Holy Spirit. Put the anointing in my hand, and I felt the anointing. That was the first time I'd ever gotten really familiar with the anointing like that, where I could sense the anointing. I sensed that I was connected with the anointing. Well, first of all, it was wonderful and it was glorious. I remember I had big tears in my eyes and I was thinking, wow. But then I knew that it wasn't just for me to just sit there and do nothing. So I got up and just began to, and then the Lord taught me how to release it. So I had it in my hands. I connected. I knew the anointing was there. And then the Lord just taught me as I got to someone how to touch it and kind of how to just let it go out of me. And that's how the Lord did that for me. Everybody's story can be different. I know that my spiritual mentor, the one that I travel with a lot, Cindy Jacobs was the one that kind of helped her learn to flow in the Spirit and release the Spirit of God. But she talks about how she learned to almost visualize within herself like an energy, like a force of energy that was flowing through her. And then she would learn to push, to kind of inwardly shove that energy or that power out. I remember Angelo, Pastor Chaz's spiritual mentor, he would say this about releasing the power, is that he would kind of connect with the Holy Spirit, and then when he would sense it was right, and he would feel it was time to release it. Now, well, you're going to release it by faith, right? You're going to use your faith to release it. And he said he would say, bang, in the spirit, in his heart. He would say, bang. And when he said, bang, he just somehow knew how that would come out of him at that time. So there's not a method to this, but it is, you are going to have to get familiar with learning to recognize when you've connected with the Spirit. Is the Spirit telling you something to do? Maybe he gives you a sentence. Maybe he tells you to do something. And I've jerked Aaron the first time, or close to the first time he came to the church, had a shoulder problem, and he came to the altar, and I remember something, and I just grabbed his arm and yanked it up. His shoulder got healed. Praise God. That was just an unction of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit is the one who's going to lead us, but it's in that moment that we either do the act, say the word, or just something that we release. In that moment with our faith, there is a moment where we release, okay? And so one thing I tell people in learning to do this is usually when people come up with me for me to pray for them or minister them, I don't like to touch them in the beginning. I don't want them to take my hands and hold my hands while I'm praying. Because there's going to come a moment. There's going to come a moment when I need to release the power. And so usually, I usually do like this or something so that I can listen and I don't touch them. Because usually when I go to touch them, I mean, that's the moment where I either sense to touch them and say something or do something or let that power flow. One thing that I do, and just some tips, a lot of ways again, but sometimes you'll see me do this here at church. When I call an altar up, I'll start pacing. And it's as I'm letting people come up, I might be saying something. What I'm doing on the inside is not just pacing. I'm connecting with the Spirit. You know, Jesus said when they told him about Lazarus, it says that Jesus groaned within himself. It says then that Jesus wept. I've had weeping come upon me. And just the moment I give myself and yield myself to that weeping, then the anointing comes, and then I can release that, and all kind of stuff goes on. So we're going to have to get familiar with learning to connect and then learning to release. Amen? And so tonight, you know, the one way that we get really comfortable with this is that we practice it. We practice it. Not me just practice it. Although I do still practice it. This is something that you're constantly working with because it is about a working relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you think that you're going to put God in a box or the Holy Spirit in a box and say every single time it's going to work this one way, just about the time you perfect that and think that's it, it'll stop working. Because your faith will be connected to a method instead of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants relationship. He wants you to have to look for Him. He wants you to have to work for Him. What's He going to do different? How's He going to do it this time? Praise the Lord.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.